Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Well, we're on to the second hour of the program for this afternoon. Second hours are every single Wednesday are for Health Conversations. And so it's that time. And it's that time of the week again. We certainly have missed Charlene. Last week we had Dr. Monique. Absolutely lovely conversation we had with her. But our girl, Charlene Naidoo, is back again this afternoon. And today we're talking stress. We hear about it so much, but what is it really? Do we have all the facts? Stress isn't just a buzzword for feeling overwhelmed. It is your body's built-in alarm system. And getting to know the facts also. Let's clear up some misconceptions on stress. I think I'm one of those people that generally do misunderstand what stress is. In the midst of all these other things, I don't know. There's stress, there's anxiety, there's depression. I think Charlene needs to clarify all of that for us this afternoon. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back.
Hey, Loco. It's good to be back for Wellness Chats. And I definitely think, you know, there's so many of us who just have some misconceptions about stress. So I think, yeah, let's get into it. It's a good topic to tackle because millions of people every day are struggling with stress.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, let's start off. First off, what exactly is stress and why does our body react to it?
Yeah. So here's a fun fact that I just learned recently. So the concept of stress, as we refer to it now, it actually goes back to the 1930s. But if you think about it, that's not actually that long ago. But it's when a doctor, it was a Hungarian endocrinologist, he actually started talking about how our bodies handle challenges. And he phrased these experiences as stress, as we now know it. And another interesting thing is that stress has become such a big part of our modern life. I mean, there are now entire research centers dedicated to just understanding stress. Hmm. One of them, for instance, is the Canadian Center for Studies on Human Stress, which literally exists just to help us figure out how stress affects your mind, your body, and what we can do about it. So I think, you know, just that little bit of context, it shows us how deeply stress is woven into our everyday lives, but yet it's still like a relatively new-ish concept, okay?
Okay.
So what you mentioned up front, you said something about the body's built-in alarm system, and that is actually what stress is. It's your body's internal red alert system that tells you, there's something challenging going on. There's something threatening in front of you. It could be a big deadline coming up. Mm-hmm. You could be in a scary physical situation. You could be dealing with a trauma like losing a family member. So what happens then when you're in that situation in practical terms? Your brain's alarm starts to go, hey, wait a minute, there's a problem. It's time to get stressed, basically. <it's> what... Okay. So you get that burst of energy and focus and your heart starts to race. You breathe a little faster. You feel like you're on high alert, you know. So some people talk about the whole fight or flight scenario where you are priming yourself to fight or to run away.
Mm-hmm. So do they say fight or flight?
Fight or flight. So yes. That's one of how you react to stress, you know, comes down to a lot, you know, to one of those scenarios. So some people are fight people, you know, they'll take on the challenge head on, but some people are flight, their response is flight, which is they try not to deal with it. Sure. And I think there's a lot of people who kind of have that response. So in small doses, it's not actually bad because when you're, this internal alarm system, it's actually protecting you in a way. But when that alarm is constantly going off every day, that's when it starts to backfire.
Just like an alarm of a property that goes off every day. Eventually, it irritates the
exactly that. I imagine like your car alarm is going off every single day, you know, for hours at a time. That's actually telling you literally there's a problem. And that's when stress becomes this problem that affects so many people each day. And this is why medical experts will always talk about managing stress. You know, it's about knowing when you need to lean into it, but also when you need to dial it down so that it works for you in that moment.
Sure. That's a great example, I must say. I'm listening to the analogy of the whole vehicle. I'm like, Now, you mentioned earlier about how it's not all so bad. I'm like, yo, how can stress not be bad? Is there such thing as good stress?
Yes, it's called beneficial stress. So you've actually got two types of stress, okay? So there's distress, which is the kind that wears you down. And then you get something called eustress, which is also known as beneficial stress. And this is almost like a positive stress, if we can say it in that way. Okay, so now say you've got a big job interview. So you'll have these butterflies in your stomach before, you're kind of nervous, but you're excited about it. Mm. That's not a bad stress. That's actually beneficial stress because it's priming you for that interview so that, you know, you can give off a good impression. You can answer the questions nicely and you can really show off, basically. So that's a way of using that stress that you're feeling for momentum and for positivity and for focus. Okay. So this is why the key difference is how you interpret that stress.
Yeah.
So if you see a challenge as, okay, I've got this, I'm good to go, then that's fine. But if you're seeing those same physical reactions as, oh no, I'm dreading this, I'm starting to panic, that's when you're not using the stress in a positive way.
Then it becomes negative stress, I guess.
And this is actually a good test, Luco. So say the next time you feel that familiar tingle of like something challenging in front of you, okay? See if you can reframe it as your brain's way of cheering you on and moving you out of the distress into the eustress, into the beneficial stress.
Very interesting, I must say. But tell me, what happens inside our brain and our body when we're under stress?
Right, so let's go back to that alarm system analogy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the moment your brain senses something stressful, it could be a scary moment, it could be that big deadline, it could be when you're in an argument, for instance, okay? So your brain now hits the panic button. Then that sets off a chain reaction in your body. So stress hormones get released. Your heart starts racing, your breathing gets faster, your muscles tense up, and this is now coming back to your body's way of getting you ready to deal with the situation. Whether that means taking it on head on or kind of running away from it. Now, the problem is that if the stress hangs around for a bit, your body sends out another round of hormones that give you more energy by raising your blood sugar. But once things calm down, your brain sends out a signal like, hey, it's okay, things are fine now. Then you'll notice your heart rate slows down, your breathing becomes easier, and everything gradually goes back to normal. So it comes back to switching off the alarm because now you know everything's safe. But you can see from the cycle of events, okay, why it's not healthy to be in that constant state of distress, of negative stress. Because look at the cycle, you can see how taxing and draining it is on your body and on your brain.
Yeah. That's true. Now, beyond things like too much work, Charlene, and life stuff as we know it, are there things that we do that perhaps unknowingly create more stress?
So it's quite a few things, unfortunately. And you know, there are a lot of the big and obvious things like financial stress or family conflicts. You're going through something really challenging at work or in a relationship. You know, then it's clear that those are very obvious things that can trigger stress. But I think we also need to look at a few things we don't realize as stress factors as well, because these are those under the radar things.
Yeah.
And I think, like, one of the themes of our conversations, Luco, is that it's not always the big things.
Exactly.
It's often the small, everyday things that we kind of ignore, that become
I kind of threw that in with Dr. Monique last week. I'm such a good world learning girl.
I heard that. You know, you were saying it's not a quick fix, it's a journey.
Yeah.
So but like one of the things that we don't actually think is a stress contributor is procrastination, okay? So a lot of people will put something off because you just need a sense of relief for the moment. Yeah. So say you've got that big deadline coming up. If you manage to push it a few days, in the immediate moment, you feel, huh, okay, I can breathe now. I feel a sense of relief.
Yep.
I'll deal with it tomorrow. The problem is that deadline, it's still looming. So it's still there in the background. It's making you tense. It's making you distracted. Then you're thinking, okay, how am I ever going to finish that project in the first place? And now your body's pumping out those stress hormones. So, you know, that anxiety is still building. And by the way, the deadline is still there.
It's not going to move. It's not going to wait for you, my girl.
Exactly. So that is something that people do on a daily basis, and they don't realize how it actually ups your stress factor. There's something else also that I think, you know, in modern day life, we have access to so many choices. And there's a concept called decision fatigue, which is actually real and it's super stressful because so many people now, we feel like we're faced with too many choices. And then you start to panic and you feel those stress hormones starting to work. So it starts to feel like every little decision, it kind of chips away to your mental energy. Then you're more irritable, you're more impatient. Am I making the right decision? Let me rush back to the drawing board and pick another choice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It becomes too much of a choice. It's decision overload, basically. And one other thing also that I want to say, which I know is going to sound super weird in our context, is that focusing too much on self-improvement in a way.
It does sound weird as you start, actually.
Exactly. It is. It does sound completely ironic. Okay. Working on yourself is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Okay. But the catch is that if you're constantly bombarding yourself with, I need to be calmer. I need to manage my stress. I need to get this in order. I need to be more productive. I need to be more positive. You're forcing these stresses on yourself, and it can start to backfire, right?
Yep.
So instead of feeling inspired and empowered, you start to feel like, okay, I'm not doing it the right way. I'm not doing enough. I haven't gotten this under control. So you'll always feel like there's something to fix, like there's something to improve. Now that, I mean, on a daily basis, is exhausting, and that leads to that cycle, you know, that dangerous, harmful cycle of those stress hormones, and you're just keeping yourself in that really unhealthy stress cycle each day.
Interesting. Now, this is quite a big one, because I think every now and again we go back to it with different topics, actually, because we don't realize the impact or the effects of food in general. So are there particular foods or drinks that help calm the stress response?
Gosh, definitely. And these are such easy wins. You know, we always say it, like these small little things can be just healthy things you build into your day. Think about how you start your morning, okay? So if you're going straight for coffee, now I drink coffee as well, I like it, but it's perhaps like not the best way to start your day if you're trying to ease into your day and calm your stress response. So, you know, try to alternate between teas and coffees. Do herbal teas, there's chamomile, there's peppermint. These are very, the green tea is another winner because it has a compound that actually helps mellow you out, you know, so it actually does improve that stress response. You can still enjoy a cup of coffee, but try not to like immediately get a caffeine fix first thing in the morning. Then there's dark chocolate. We've mentioned this one before, which is really, really lovely because it can boost your mood. It can help lower that stress hormone. And it's got, you know, a lot of really good nutrients and compounds for lifting your mood and just improving your blood flow. We spoke about this previously. Never skip your water, okay?
Pretty please.
do not. You need to drink water. Dehydration, it can just ramp up your heart rate. It can make that tension and stress feel so much worse. So sipping water regularly throughout the day, it really helps with your brain health, with your physical health, you know, with your digestive health. And another one that I think we also underestimate is nuts and seeds, especially things like almonds and walnuts and pumpkin seeds. They're very small, but they are really packed with lots of good nutrients, which many of us don't get enough of. And these nutrients can actually help to keep your muscles and your nerves calm. So small little health fixes throughout the day, you know, just try and incorporate these in your daily diet.
So tell me, Charlene, what are hidden signs, rather, of chronic stress that we often overlook?
I think one that's quite interesting and tends to fly under the radar is self-care, okay? Mm-hmm. This is kind of often the first thing to go, like not feeling in the mood to dress presentably, right? You might notice some people, they don't want to shower or they don't want to wash because they're just letting that basic hygiene slide. And these are worrying signs that it could be chronic stress. And that can further slide into depression, okay? I think, you know, there's a lot of cases of people who go from stressed to depression. And they kind of really just have no care in their physical appearance. And I'm saying that beyond a superficial level, like where they, you know, it's not even about nice clothes or anything. It's just about like on a basic level.
Basic self-care.
Basic self-care. Then there's something else, you know, like brain fog and memory lapses, okay? So, you know, just say you lose your keys today and you can't remember where you've put them, okay? I mean, that tends to happen. But when these things start becoming a pattern, okay, you start blanking on people's names, for instance. You find yourself reading a book, but you can't get through like the first couple of pages because you just can't focus. You can't concentrate. That's the brain fog. That's the memory lapses. Because stress does that. It hijacks your memory and focus. So you need to watch for those red flags. This is an important one I also want to mention, okay? It's subconscious risk-taking. Now, when stress starts to pile up, some people will externalize it. And what this means is they'll try to get like a quick hit of relief. They'll try to feel some sense of excitement. So they'll start to do reckless things like speeding or drinking more than usual. Some people start to spend money impulsively. They may start gambling. So these are really, really important red flags that we don't really think about. So please watch for those behaviors, because as we said, it's not always the big and obvious signs. You've got to pay attention to the small things.
Yeah, that's true. So long-term health and stress, what do we need to know about these?
Gosh, I think the long-term is where the important work comes in. You have to think long-term. You've got to stop thinking that, okay, this little burst of stress now, it's actually giving me some focus and some energy. Okay, that's great. But it's in that long-term when it starts chipping away at your health, you might not even realize it's happening. You know, your heart starts to take stress. Your heart works overtime. Your blood pressure creeps up, and you are now at risk for heart attacks or strokes. And the scary thing about this, Luca, is that you may not even feel stressed in the traditional way, but this is what's happening in your body.
Okay. Scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I think the scary thing is that it's the unknown, is that we tend to think that, well, everybody experiences stress, but remember, your body processes it in a different way. You may not be affected by it, but I might be, or vice versa. So I really think it's something that we need to think about, the long-term effects of it. And while you may not feel it right now, there is going to be an impact somewhere down the line. And that can come from, you know, you're affecting your immune system. It's about your brain health, you know, like you're starting to feel, you're going from stressed to anxious to depression to panic. There's a whole range of what stress can lead to. So it really, really is so important to catch the signs early and start making small changes.
Sure. Tell me, Charlene, what do we get wrong? Or let me say, what do we misunderstand about stress?
I think we probably tend to see stress as an enemy. And there's a little bit of, it is a little bit of a misconception. I'm not to take away from everything we're discussing now about the harmful effects. Okay. But not all stress is bad. We've talked about it earlier. A little bit of stress can sharpen your focus, boost your motivation. But it's only when it piles up and it never takes a break that it turns toxic. So it's about really learning how to manage it. Because I think one thing we need to get away from is that it's normal to experience stress in your day-to-day life, okay? It's probably not something anybody is ever going to be at 0% for. It's just a natural part of life. It's learning how to manage it and use it to your benefit. Another thing we get wrong, I think, is we think that stress only lives in your head. And yes, it may start with that mental alarm, but those feelings and those responses, it quickly spreads to your whole body. It goes to your heart rate, to your digestion, to your sleep patterns, to your immune system. So stress isn't only in your head. It's a whole body effect. And I think one thing we like another mistake we make is we assume that I need to go sit on a beach for 3 weeks and my stress will be gone. Okay. And that would be nice, but it doesn't quite work like that because there's no one big fix or solution, right? I mean, a holiday can help you to unwind, but that real stress management happens in the right now, in the next hour, in the following hour, in tomorrow, the small habits, the boundaries you set, even how you breathe when things feel tense. So I think we mustn't think that, okay, there's one magical, huge solution out there. And if I just have 3 weeks to myself, I can fix all my stress. It's not about that. It's about how you care for yourself in the middle of the chaos.
Sure. It's about how you care for yourself in the middle of the chaos. That's such a powerful line. Now, what's one practical step that our listeners can take today to start lowering their stress for good?
Okay, so not to sound too soft and floaty about this, because I know this is like one of those online phrases, but I think one thing we can do is start noticing your stress story, okay? And that means just paying attention to the way you talk to yourself when things go wrong. So let's go back to that example of you've missed a very important deadline. So what is your first reaction? Are you immediately angry at yourself? Do you immediately blame yourself? Do you become despondent and you say things like, I always do this and I can never get things right? So the way you explain stress to yourself, it matters so much because if you start to move from the mindset of everything is a disaster and I always mess up to something more productive and realistic like, okay, this is not great. I've missed my deadline, but let me figure out the next steps. Now, isn't that like a softer, nicer approach to you?
That's true.
Right? So your body then follows suit because your body's listening to that your brain, right? It's listening to what your brain is saying and it starts to calm down instead of spiraling further. So you're not releasing those stress hormones. You're not going into that normal spiral that you would go into. And it's not about getting into that false sense of forced positivity either, but it's just about realistically changing that inner voice and how you would usually respond to stress. So that's where the work comes in, is that, okay, you have to notice it and you have to slowly start changing your response. And then you've got to do the work to sustain those changes in the long term.
Sure. This is quite interesting because I think, like you said, most of us, if not all of us, get that moment of stress at some point in time. Yeah. So nobody's going to say, nah, you're not talking to me because, hey, you're on planet Earth here.
That's so true.
Now, Sean, where can we get hold of you? Where do we get more of these tips?
Yes, Luco, thank you. So definitely please go to wellbeingsafrica.com. And, you know, we always say to start your health journey sooner than later. It is so, so, so worth it. And yeah, thank you so much for having me, Luco, as usual.
Always great to have you. Until next week, Charlene. Have a great one.
Thank you, Luco. Take care.
Get in touch with the truth, the light and the life, 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Yongeza ilizwi lakho kweli lethu. Sikumamele yaye sifuna ukuva izimvo zakho. Ungathumela kugospel@radiopulpit.co.za. Okanye uthumele umyalezo wakho kuWhatsApp ku-082-657-2729.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.